Off the Ball Breakfast.
Honestly, I'm always fascinated by those things, you know. Pat Kenny could be walking around and he could be unbelievable at Normal Hill, but he would never have tried it.
Who?
Pat Kenny.
All right.
Anyone? You.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
The Saturday Panel on Off the Ball.
With Optimum Nutrition, the official performance nutrition partner of the IRFU.
This is News Talk.
And you're welcome back to Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. John Duggan with you through to 5 o'clock. This is the Saturday panel at a later time this week because we're going to review Ireland's game against Italy in the Six Nations. At the moment, it's Ireland 20, Italy 13, just about to go full time. But Italy have the ball. In the studio, we have the former Ireland and Munster prop Fiona Hayes and the ex-Leinster and Toulouse flanker Aidan McCullen. How are you, Fiona? And Aidan, how's the form?
Good. It's a very nerve-wracking here, John.
Too nervous.
There's just hitting that 80 mark, and obviously Italy have a line out a couple of metres out, but really unfortunate for Adogbo there. I think Holly just gave away that penalty. He thought he was after getting away with slowing it down a little bit.
Yeah, we're still not out of the woods yet.
We're not. No, it's not over yet. Andy Dunn's at the Aviva Stadium as well. So, and yeah, it's tight. It's too maybe tight for comfort at the moment. In this Six Nations game, obviously we lost the first one to France. And the Saturday panel on Off the Ball this week, brought to you by Optimum Nutrition. We're delighted to team up with Optimum Nutrition, the world's number one performance nutrition brand, as they launch their new global campaign, The Optimum Advantage. With over 35 years at the top of performance nutrition, trusted by the world's best athletes, and a growing partnership with the IRFU, Optimum Nutrition are right at the heart of Irish rugby. Let's see if we can go to the Aviva Stadium and bring in Andy Dunn. Andy, we're on tenterhooks here.
Absolutely. So we're in injury time. Next play, next mistake, the game's over. Italy have held possession for the last minute and a half, probing both the Irish midfield, going out wide. It's quite heroic in terms of Irish defence and intensity. Like we've made it, just made a knock-on in a defensive tackle. Italy retain possession, so it's in the 82nd minute of the match. Next mistake is game over, or next score is game over.
Okay, we'll bring you back in there, Andy Dunn. Fiona, what's been the story of the game for you so far?
Yeah, look, I think it's been a better performance, John. Obviously, everything hasn't gone right, but there has been changes in personnel. But for me, the likes of Balakoon, McCluskey and Osborne have been absolutely brilliant today. And that's what we're looking for. Bright sparks coming through. And I think they'll be happy with it. But obviously, this is huge for Ireland. We spoke about the 38 missed tackles last week in defence. So they've got to hold them out here, or there'll be big questions around that.
Aidan, what's your general assessment at the moment?
Well, I'll pass to the expert here about the scrum, because we were absolutely destroyed. And without that platform, there's not much you can do. And I think for me, the Prendergast question is over.
Okay, we'll get to that in a moment, because Ireland have got the ball back here and James Lowe has the ball. And it looks like we could be winning this match in the next few moments. Andy Dunn is standing by at the Aviva Stadium. Remember that in terms of the story of the game, we have had three tries. So, look, another one would be very welcome. Jamie Osborne, Jack Conan and Robert Balakoon in this match, with Italy getting a try, a conversion and a couple of penalties. Jack Crowley with both of our conversions. Sam Prendergast didn't miss kicks, but it looks like that's it. Andy Dunn, is it over?
No, it's a penalty. It's not quite. So it's 82 minutes and 50 seconds on the clock. James Lowe had a brilliant intercept. We've gone down the far end of the field and Italy have given away a penalty. So it looks like we're going to go for the corner and hopefully get that bonus point try. So it's quite a change. It's been quite wild the last 5 minutes here. Hugely tense. We've clung on by a thread, so the game wasn't drawn, and now it looks like we may well get a bonus point.
Yeah, we're going to win the match. I mean, that's the key thing. We're going to win the game. So the scrum, let's start with that, because in Paris it was fine, wasn't it? So what happened today? And it's the same personnel. So it was what, Clarkson and Luckman as the props, and Danchin in the middle of them.
Yeah, look, I think from the start, Fischetti targeted Clarkson. He was unbelievable. I think it'll be an Irish player getting player of the game, but he was certainly up for it. He was everywhere scrum time. And I think the biggest shock of all for me was when he absolutely lifted Furlong off. So it wasn't just Clarkson. It was in that second half. He lifted Furlong up in the air. It's been a long, long time since I've seen Furlong go like that. But certainly, I think what was happening is they were really, really targeting that tight head side and going after him with the hooker, and it just came up dividends. There'll be questions around driving up and different issues, but certainly outpowered in that area.
What about the line out then?
Yeah, the line-out probably didn't produce like it did last week. I thought they were exceptional. For me, I looked at it throughout the game, John. There was a lot more movement, so they were trying to move Italy a lot more, and they seemed to read it and get it up a couple of times and pick Ireland off, or there was a couple of overthrows as well. So they'll be disappointed, I think, with the set piece in general.
We have a full-time score now, Andy Dunn. It's over at the Aviva Stadium. Andy, do we have you there? Never, we don't. We can tell you though, it's Ireland 20, Italy 13, the joys of improvisation. Aidan McCullen, we've scraped through
just about. It's funny what's happened in the last 5 years or so, isn't it? Like when Italy were the whipping boys,
yeah,
and now we're lucky to get a win. And, yeah, and really, I think we were lucky to get a win. Italy, for me, played the better rugby. They were more exciting on the ball. And we lived in fits and starts. And as I said there, I think the Prendergast question's over. Mm. I think there's only so many chances a guy can get. And I know he's a young guy. I remember giving him that benefit of the doubt. But there's only so many chances you can give a guy before you start impacting the rest of the team. Because they go, well, why try then? Because you're just going to give a position to a guy here. And that's true. That seeps into a team. It seeps into a country as well. So the provincial teams will see that. And they'll get disappointed. And they go, well, why is that happening at the top level?
Do you know what's funny? And even when Crowley came on, the other players' body language, I know the Aviva went crazy, but it was almost, and like I know what Prendergast can do in attack, he's amazing, but it was almost a look of relief in some of those players, yeah, because they now were able to, I suppose, defend like they're used to defending, defend in their own channels. We got absolutely walloped out wide a couple of times, and I think it's all based on people are afraid that Sam will miss a tackle, so that stretch defence is a lot narrower around him in particular.
And he did. He missed a lot, yep, of tackles today. So, he missed easy tackles today.
What was his issue today? That you,
well, he didn't control the game. You want a 10. You've a spectrum of 10s. You've a Johnny Sexton who's an authoritarian, who bosses the team, who keeps the standards. Then you have a more of a playmaker 10.
Finn Russell type, maybe.
Yeah, Finn Russell. Yeah, and Finn Russell's kind of grown up a bit. Mm. I think Finn Russell used to be too loose. Now he's a balance of both, and he's grown as a player as a result. We thought we'd see that from Sam Prendergast. We haven't seen that. In fact, he's kind of gone backwards a bit. And for me, a good analogy here is it's like the boss's son gets a job and everybody gets angry about that. And everybody starts bitching and moaning about it behind the scenes. And that gets into a team culture. And for me, I don't know what's going on inside that team, yeah, but I'm sure it's in there. And to Fiona's point, you could see it in the body language.
Well, obviously they would have seen, you know, that he had talent, that he had attacking talent, and, you know, that he deserved his position on merit. But with the pressure of the Six Nations games in the last two games, that he just maybe, from your perspective, has not been up to it.
Yeah, and you can ruin a player by continuing to put them into that cauldron time and time again when they're not mature yet. And I hope that doesn't happen, because we have seen that done in the past. I think in the past, I'm going back a decade or more here, we were guilty of not blooding players young enough. I go to someone, an example I always think of was Shane Jennings. So Shane Jennings was World Player of the Year under 19. The other player who was in that was Richie McCaw. Richie McCaw was brought straight into the New Zealand team. Mm. Took Jennings years to break into Leinster. He had to actually go to Leicester to come back. And he had to go through ridiculous stunts. Like, I remember Kidney putting him on the wing for Leinster. This kind of absolute mayhem. And he went to Leicester, blooded himself, came back, got into the team under Cheka, and went on to 3+ Heineken Cups and a good few caps as well. And you look at that trajectory and you're going to go, well, that was a system that was broken for us. But this is overcorrection, and you can only do it so many times because it's clear to see that it's not working.
Andy Dunn is at the Aviva Stadium. Andy, so first of all, get your general thoughts on the match.
Yeah, I tend to agree with a number of things both Aidan and Fiona have said. I think for large parts of the game, Italy looked more dangerous in possession, more attacking intent, more speed. But they took huge risks and they didn't retain possession themselves, and that's an issue for Italy. In terms of the Irish performance, the first 20 minutes was excellent. Andy Farrell would have been quite satisfied with the way they physically stepped up. There was a lot of intent, there was a lot of aggression, there was a lot of purpose in how they played, and they were the issues that he name checked after that first half in Paris. But it just went cold, it went quiet. It was like watching two different teams. The next 20 minutes of the first half, we looked rudderless, we lacked direction, we lacked confidence, the stadium became quiet. I think the most marked change then that happened in the second half was the introduction of Jack Crowley, who did give the team a huge sense of purpose in terms of attacking intent. What was interesting to me was Jack, as is the norm as a 10, is he became the first receiver off most breakdowns. What was happening a lot with Sam is it's hitting up forwards in a static position, and Sam's looking to get a secondary possession from that front line of forwards, and it does stagnate our attack quite significantly. I think the green shoots in that performance, the selections that were, some of them left field from Farrell, were very much vindicated. Robert Balakoon really had two mistakes in the match, neither of which were crucial. One was a left to right pass, and one towards the tail end was a rather a clumsy attempt to try and keep the ball infield from a botched penalty by Garbisi. However, in terms of kick chase, in terms of being competitive in the air, in terms of his athleticism and speed on the ball, he was excellent. Izichukwu, who was picked at 6 again, potentially at a left field, most people wouldn't have predicted that, was excellent. Tall, athletic, he won us the first four lineouts straight in the game, and he competed around the field and did a good job. James Lowe, we'll call it maybe a reincarnation, but he was excellent throughout. So, you know, there were positives. To me, you could probably summarise the weaknesses and the concerns around that scrum. The scrum was fairly obliterated at times, and then I think Sam Prendergast, just that noticeable difference in momentum. There was a public vote of confidence. You could hear it in the crowd. You could see, I'd agree with Fiona, there was a noticeable difference in the body language within the team, and that's not just light talking. There was a noticeable change in body language and conviction around how we played with Jack's introduction. I think for me, Jack didn't deserve, after the first two seasons, in terms of what he did in the Irish jersey, to get such a lack of game time. I can understand blooding new talent and looking at the likes of Sam, and he absolutely does have talent. But I think Jack deserves to get at least as much game time. I've said it prior to the Six Nations, he needs to get as much game time, if not more, than Sam in this Six Nations to give the team some cohesion. And we certainly saw that in that last 15 to 20 minutes.
Andy, they really have to now make a decision surely on this 10, because it's probably unfair on Sam Prendergast if he's having a tough time, as the experts have said here in the studio, or if it's Harry Byrne, or if it's Jack Crowley. You need to make a decision and stick to it, don't you?
I wouldn't actually. I would say, I have consistently and repeatedly said my first choice would be Jack Crowley for the team, but I don't want us to get to a point where Jack Crowley now plays the next 14 months prior to a World Cup and Sam Prendergast gets no game time. You've also got Harry Byrne, you've potentially got Kieran Frawley if he gets more game time as a 10 next season down in Connacht. Top teams in international rugby are currently changing their 10s on a regular basis. France certainly are. South Africa do it on almost a weekly basis at this stage. New Zealand have done it, and England seem to have settled on forward, but they've two very, very good options in Finn Smith and Marcus Smith. I don't think we need to nail our colours to the mast. I think we probably need clarity on who's the first choice. That doesn't seem to be the case at the moment. I think Jack Crowley ought to be the first choice, but I think Sam's style of play is probably more conducive and lends itself to coming on with 20 minutes to go, because the game can be broken up. He's got that impulsivity and creativity in his game. He doesn't seem to have the game management. He's not demonstrative on the field. He's not clearly guiding his team and his troops around the field with authority. And I think we're lacking that at times on the field. So yeah, he's undoubtedly got capacity. I think he's probably better suited now to being involved as a later substitute in games. But it'll be interesting to see how it goes with others like Harry Byrne and Kieran Frawley also. But for me, if it's not an agreement, which quite John say he plays every minute of every game, but I think to me it's clear, and I think to a number of others at this stage, that Jack Crowley needs to be number one.
Yeah, I think Donner, one of the things I think about, you said about his bossing the pitch, that he used to do that, and what happens is your confidence fades because you know people are talking about you, you know you're not delivering, and as a result your confidence as a leader fades, and that's clearly happened to him. And every time he missed, you could see him, every time he made a mistake coming off the pitch, when he came off he was absolutely dejected, as was Casey, by the way, because Casey, I don't think that pairing worked very well today. Casey started well around the rooks, he was a bit like Dupont, he was dragging in defenders, he looked like a threat, but he faded, and he probably faded also because of Prendergast, because you need a 10 to tell you where he is and absolutely boss. The 10 is like the brain of the pitch, it's like a computer brain, and everything runs off that, and it just wasn't there, and it was there when Crowley came on.
And I think that first conversion that he missed as well, you could see his head almost drop because it was slightly just to the side of the post, the whole of the Viva side, you could feel a sigh, and like you've got to feel that as a 10 in a stadium that big. So you could see after that he was a little bit rattled himself,
and you can see him in a way. I could see him hearing the post-match review, thinking about his stats.
From you, Aidan.
I was clear. I just thought it was premature from the start. I remember the first game we played, a Leinster game. I remember that, and I remember going, it was too early. For me, he didn't look mature enough physically as well. And that's come true in his lack of tackling as well. Like, you need if you're that gangly, you need to be like a dog.
Yeah,
and he doesn't have that in him.
Well, hopefully he will at some stage. Who's your man of the match, Andy Dunn?
Robert Balakoon was excellent. I think now you look at that selection from Andy Farrell. Tommy O'Brien's been probably one of our most consistent performers in recent times. Tough decision on Tommy. Didn't have much of an impact over in Paris, but that's where the ruthlessness of Farrell can be, I think, quite a value in this team. You've now got Tommy O'Brien really looking at Balakoon over his shoulder, or vice versa. You've got Mac Hansen, who's not involved. You've Hugo Keenan, who's not involved. You've Bundiaki, Robbie Henshaw, not involved. You've arguably got your first choice 10 not involved until the 60th minute. So there's scope for quite a change in personnel and momentum within the group. But overall, in terms of man of the match, Balakoon, for me, just on the fact that he's come back in out of the cold, he took the chance. It's a very, very difficult thing to do, is to take every single opportunity that comes your way, and he pretty much did that in that over the course of 80 minutes.
But I'd argue as well, Dunner, you said there about the ruthlessness of the coach. That didn't count across everything, and that's the problem. You can't be ruthless out of one hand and not out of the other with Prendergast, and because he hasn't been. He was ruthless with Frawley. I really thought that was unfair. I thought Frawley didn't deserve that kind of treatment. Either did Crowley, either did Harry Byrne. So if you're going to back some horses here, and I agree with the backing horses, because we overstacked in Johnny, for example, for years, not giving other people opportunities to grow. And that's a difficult thing to play, that, because you're trying to win, you're taking the public criticism. Also, we were winning so much at the time, and you didn't want to lose that record, which gets you stuck into this cycle, and you don't balance the team out as much. But that ruthlessness hasn't counted for certain players, and I think that's one of the big problems.
Well, maybe he was trying to, you know, so well, he's got a bit of an X factor as a scrum half, you know, with the attacking play, and let's see him develop into the team, and it just hasn't seemed to materialise that way.
Yeah, you can only give it so many chances.
And maybe that's the inflection point as we go to Twickenham. How good are Italy, though, Andy Dunn? I mean, I suppose, you know, they're not the Italy of old. They've won last week against Scotland. Was this a real true test for Ireland?
It was. I think the Irish team from two or three seasons ago at a peak level would have won convincingly nonetheless. I think where Italy are admirable is the speed with which they get the ball away from the ruck. Alessandro Fusco, really reminiscent to me of Aaron Smith with the All Blacks, the technical details around his pass. He gets the ball away in a millisecond, and it's an absolutely brilliant wide pass, generally very accurate, and it adds huge momentum to the game alongside Garbisi, who is the incumbent, who is clearly their general on the field. And so they've a lot of clarity around what they're trying to do on the field. When they got it out wide, Menoncello's had a great season in the URC. Louis Lina has, again, got a lot of attacking threat. But they're loose. They're really, really loose when it gets out into the wide channels. That means they're dangerous, but it also means from their own point of view, they're quite unreliable. So they lacked retention of possession when the ball went out wide so many times when they had us. I mean, they really had us at six and sevens, and, you know, either forward passes, knock-ons, loose, high-risk offloads didn't work. You know, it would be a very difficult team to play in if you're the front five of Italy, who are doing such a job in the scrum. The ball comes out to your back line, they look really ruthless, but then just when you need them to retain possession, they're kind of throwing the all-or-nothing pass. Now, it's, again, if you are the coach, and it's quite opposite to how Gonzalo Quesada played. He was one of the safest, most reliable players, arguably a boring, automated, robotic type player as a 10. So he's now coaching a team, whether that's through him or his attack coach, that have such flair and such high risk, and a relationship with risk that they take it on from anywhere. That's a really dangerous attacking style, and I think if they stick with that, what will happen is they'll probably naturally curb those overly risky instincts out wide, and they could become a real threat. But they have, without doubt, they've improved significantly.
How do we do in terms of our tackling? Because there's, what, 38 missed against France? How do we do there today?
Yeah,
I think 87% was the stat that I had.
What was it, Andy?
So
sorry?
87% completion of our stats, of our tackles. So that's a lot. That's a big improvement. But, you know, less one-on-one misses against France. Defensive systems looked a little better overall. But it wasn't a massive improvement, but it was a small improvement, I would say, on the defensive performance in Paris.
Yeah, I think they missed 25. Italy missed 32. So it was an improvement from last week. But even, I thought the line speed, John, they just came up a lot quicker. There was a couple of times where they were caught out wide, but I spoke the last time I was in here about that scramble defence, how it's just gone downhill. I'm nervous on our scramble defence, whereas this time I actually felt confident that both wingers, how they were playing. Lowe in particular was brilliant. He was physical, he got himself involved. They just looked a little bit assured in that area compared to previous games.
Yeah, and I think we were lucky, actually. One of the times it was Ioane made a break. He made a big looping run around. He went up Balakoun, and he'd actually beaten Balakoun. He got that pass inside, and that was a big threat. I think on our defence, we were better, but also Italy weren't as potent in attack as France
were, yeah. Did we kick as much as we did last week in Paris?
I think we kicked very poorly. Dunner, you're the boss on this, but I think we kicked very, very poorly, particularly Prendergast's kicking. And you know, again, it was that authority, you know. If you have one trick and he does this spiral, Gary Owen, as one of us, like, this is my master plan trick. But, like, that's, you need a 10 to be bossing the corners, putting in the corner, as Dunner said, in first receiver. That gives confidence to your 9 as well. He's looking for that, not looking for who's at first receiver, because that split second makes all the difference in attack.
I think on that, Aidan, we kicked as an afterthought a lot today. So we ran out of options, and then we kicked in a rushed way. I would love to see. I'd love to see Ireland become a more kick dominant team. And by kick dominant, I don't mean kick every time you get possession. But kicking is a strategic way to play, and you can set up one or two plays with a view to kicking on third or fourth phase that everybody's aware of from a positional point of view. You're trying to essentially move the backfield by what you do in the first one or two initial phases. We never, and I mean never, do that anymore. We attack until we've run out of space or options, and we kick as an afterthought, which is haphazard, and that's exactly what it looks like and exactly what it feels like. So kicking as a last option when you've run out of the first few attacking options isn't a good option. Kicking as a dominant side is actually second phase, third phase. Our plan is working. The backfield, the wingers have popped up. We kick it over their head. Or we've created space in the middle and we put in a well-designed chip. Italy did it off a line-out that they nearly scored over 5 minutes to go. Pre-planned, kick dominant, almost ran in under the post. So we're slightly lacking in that. I'd like to see a change in that. We don't need to run every time we get possession. It doesn't mean we have curbed our enthusiasm or our, I suppose, our invention or our ambition. Kicking can be a wonderfully creative tool. We're using it now currently as a kind of last gasp resort when we've run out of options with blunt attacking play. And I think we're missing a huge trick here, because the capacity is there within the kickers, within the group. We've got left footers, right footers. They can use variety in the kicking game. We've seen it at club level, and we've seen it occasionally at international level. And again, even that spiral bomb that Sam put in, I mean, that caused havoc, because his execution of that was very, very good, but we didn't see much of that in constructive play.
Yeah, as well, Andy, there was one unbelievable kick from Gibson Park. I think it was around the 73rd minute, but it was that dummy that he went to pass that drew that winger up and created that space in the backfield, and that was just like, it was probably one of the best kicks of the game, but it was his execution and his body language about how he done it.
And one of the things you see is when you do have that kick dominance as a forward, isn't that a joy when you have a 10 who bosses that, who puts it down there 50 metres, understands the flow of the game, understands the energy of the pack, because you end up using a lot of, think about the amount of runs you have to do to make, and the way Ireland in particular are doing these short one-off runners, the amount of runs you have to do to make 10, 15 metres versus a 50 metre kick. And it's that difference, because that energy then pays back later on because you've saved it. And that's the piece missing.
Andy Farrell to Virgin Media saying after the game, hell of a test match. We showed unbelievable character to see off an Italy side that don't go away. Unbelievably proud of our fighting spirit. We're so strong in the second half. Our wanton momentum was massively improved on. We've Andy Dunn at the Aviva Stadium, Aidan McCullen and Fiona Hayes in studio here and off the ball Saturday, reflecting on Ireland's win over Italy in the Six Nations. 20 points to 13 tries from Osborne, Conan and Balakoon in a narrow win today. Jack Crowley scoring a conversion and a penalty. A massive reception for Edwin Odogbo from Cove, his first Ireland start. Andy Dunn off the bench.
Yeah, and he didn't get much opportunity in terms of ball carrying. He was largely in a defensive role when he came on. He was pretty combative. What we really tried to do in that last 15 minutes, as Italy were quite dominant in possession at times, was to try and hold up Italian attackers, and he showed a lot of strength, and he nearly did it a couple of times. Sort of the Italian back row came in, Manuel Zuliani in particular, who had an excellent game for them, coming in at pace and getting his own forwards onto the ground so they could retain possession. He did it brilliantly in that last few minutes. But yeah, there was probably it's nice for him, it's nice for his family. I think it's another burgeoning talent that I think is the right fit and the right profile for the squad. Maybe not to start, but what we're starting to see is an introduction of depth. Aidan spoke about the Shane Jennings example from 10-15 years ago in Irish rugby. We were a rugby culture very guilty of not bringing in young talent early enough. There's arguably, again, as Aidan said, an overcorrection there now, and we're throwing in people who are a little underprepared and maybe haven't had 20-30 games at club level, but lots of them are rising to the occasion. We saw it happen with Paddy McCarthy back in the November internationals, who's had a very unlucky injury for himself. But what it does do is create a depth in the squad. It creates competition, it creates a sense in the non-selected players, a sense of hope, because it doesn't take much to swing a change in selection. And across the squad, what we're generally seeing is that strength and depth will come, I believe. The only exception probably being the persistence to stick with Sam at 10 despite erratic form. But generally across the entire squad, there seems to be now a sense of urgency. Okay. He dropped two or three key players, you would say, for this week, and you know that's only going to create a good sense of urgency in those players,
yeah,
and a sense of hope in those behind them.
Last question to you, Andy Dunn at the Aviva Stadium. Who do you want to see in the team for England next week in style of play? I mean, what is your clear vision now after watching today and watching France for next week?
Yeah, I mean, I would, without doubt, I would start with Jack Crowley and Gibson Park. I think Balakoon deserves another shot as a starting winger. I'd probably stick with the same centres, and James Lowe was outstanding alongside Jamie Osborne, two standout performers on the day. Up front, I think we need to absolutely have a look at who starts at prop. The English front five are borderline best in the world at the moment. Huge strength and depth there. I think we've got to look long and hard at our selection. Firstly, our options, but who are potentially the scrummagers? I think Furlong's probably got to start. There's maybe a question mark over Dan Sheehan starting, with Kelleher being arguably a better scrummager. And we've got to look at... I think certainly Doris and Conan deserve to start again in the back row. He may throw Van der Fleer back in there after not getting a shot this week, and he'll be hungry. But I think Isichuku had a reasonably good impact, but possibly not enough around the field on the ball and in defence. Excellent in the line out. So I think not sea changes, not significant changes. Injuries won't allow that as well. But I think probably the most obvious one I'd say is changing the halfbacks going into next week, and a real long look at who starts in the front row positions.
Andy Dunn from Beaver Stadium, thanks so much.
Cheers, Sean. Thanks, guys.
Andy Dunn there. We have Aidan McCullough and Fiona Hayes with us until 5, reflecting on Ireland's 20 points to 13 win over Italy in the Six Nations. Just in the FA Cup before we go to the break, latest scores: Manchester City 1, Salford 0, Norwich 1, West Brom 1. It's 1-1 as well between Southampton and Leicester. It's Burnley 1, Mansfield 1. In the Championship, it's now Sheffield Wednesday 1, Millwall 2, QPR 1, Blackburn 3, Preston 2, Watford 2, Portsmouth 0, Sheffield United 0, and Derby 2, Swansea 0. Owen Eldin scoring for Hibs today in Scotland. They lead St Mirren 2-0. It's Falkirk 2, Dundee United 2, and Dundee 2, Livingston 2. Our rugby conversation continues here on Off the Ball Saturday after this break.
The Saturday panel on Off the Ball.
With Optimum Nutrition, the official performance nutrition partner of the IRFU.
This is News Talk.
Back to Off the Ball Saturday. John Duggan with you 3 to 5. Rugby is the focus of this week's Saturday panel on Off the Ball. A little later than usual, we kind of flip Football Saturday, which we brought you between 2 and 4. Ireland have beaten Italy in the Six Nations 20 points to 13 at the Viva Stadium. Tries from Jamie Osborne, Jack Conan, and Robert Gabala-Kuhn. About 30 seconds to kick off in Murrayfield. It is Scotland versus England, and we have Aidan McCullough, ex-Leinster and Toulouse flanker, in studio with the former Ireland and Munster prop Fiona Hayes. What are we thinking about this one? I mean, England, surely, they won 12 in a row?
Yeah, it just Scotland have the ability to surprise you, don't they? Watching them against Italy last week, they'll be hurting having lost that game. But I have to say, this is, you know, when you think about it, 2 years ago, everyone was talking about the decline of English rugby and how they're not playing great and the players aren't there. And like, even Ford was almost written off, and it's just such a story. They've come out, they look really happy, they look really cohesive. And I think the biggest thing with England is the, obviously, set piece is huge for them, but the modern kicking game is really suiting them, and their style of wingers and their 9 and 10 are superb at it.
Yeah, and I think Scotland are in the Italy position in a way where they'll have a win, they'll have a loss. But the thing you said there, Fiona, is really important. Your first loss or win dictates what the second one's going to be like, hugely. So if we got an Italy that lost last week, I think we would have they could have beaten us today. Because that little extra bite or hunger in there has a dramatic effect. So Scotland have that in the bag from last week because they lost against Italy. So they'll actually come out with a little bit extra energy, a little bit extra percentage that they wouldn't have had. And that's going to change the balance of the game. But on balance, I think England are the better team. They have more, they've grown into themselves over the last couple of years. They know their identity. Mm. They know their positions. Stuff like Ford, like we talk about Prendergast's lack of tackling. They protect Ford. So they'd often bring in a 12 in to tackle in for Ford and put him out to 12. They'll move him around. You'll see this. You miss it sometimes in a game, but sometimes they'll do that. They'll protect it. I remember back in the day, like, they'd have Joe Worsley, who was a flanker for England. They used to put him into 10 when they knew there was a big a big runner coming towards the 10. And that kind of, I don't understand why we mightn't have done that for Prendergast as an Irish team, if that's one of his weaknesses, to shore it up just for a while and let him work on it then around.
And also accentuate his strengths. The Saturday panel on Off the Ball this week brought to you by Optimum Nutrition. We're delighted to team up with Optimum Nutrition, the world's number one performance nutrition brand, as they launched their new global campaign, The Optimum Advantage. With over 35 years at the top of performance nutrition, trusted by the world's best athletes, and a growing partnership with the IRFU, Optimum Nutrition are right at the heart of Irish rugby. Speaking of Irish rugby, there's been, I suppose, a lot of wailing around the world in the last 10 days after the France game. I mean, where is the game at the moment for you, Fiona? I mean, look, you can't be Grand Slam winners, Triple Crown winners, World Cup contenders all the time.
No, and look, I think as a small nation, we just really, because the rugby team and the players were so good, everyone got behind it. And it's almost a sense of disappointment, or is this the decline of Irish rugby? Are we going to, you know, lose the next few games? But certainly, I'm not as pessimistic as everyone thinks. I felt like they would win this game today. I know it's Italy in the Viva, but there's some of the tries they scored today. You can see something. There is glimpses of attack. And, you know, Andy spoke about Rob Balakoon. Something we've been lacking in Irish rugby for the last while is that X factor player that makes people stand on their seats. You're roaring, you're shouting, you're enjoying that kind of off the cuff rugby. I think we saw glimpses from Ireland today. Game plan, where they're at, it was a totally different type of game plan going into this Italy game. So fair play to Andy and his team. He looked at that, he said, right, the kicking game, yes, they did kick, but they weren't overly reliant. I know it's a different opposition, but certainly I thought they have the ability to change it up, and certainly was a much better performance. But I suppose the biggest thing is this Six Nations, you're looking at a third finish, probably second would be unbelievable, but trying to go to Twickenham and win, and obviously we have those last two home games as well, it's going to be hard. So it's building for the World Cup, I think, is where we're at, John. It's trying to get those players, get that cohesion there, and certainly find out what this group are really, really good at, because we knew what the past players were excellent. We knew what our strengths were. We knew we were unbelievable at getting gain line. That doesn't seem to be happening for us. So we have to look at a different way, how we can attack a lot better, I think.
The game itself, are we in a transition place? Are we in a decline? Are we in a recession as an Irish rugby team? All these business expressions.
Yes. So I do think you have to think about it as the competition as well. As in, I mean, the other countries. Mm. So we, as a nation, had a great academy system early. And I mean that, like, we were ahead of, I would argue, France, certainly, because they didn't have that kind of, because they're very, very club-based, privately club-based. And the club, I remember playing for Toulouse, I remember Guy Novez was the coach. He used to say to the international players when they came back from international duty, welcome back from des vacances, which is holiday. Welcome back from your holidays. And he meant it. And that system where the country was lucky to have my players was very much the system. That system changed a couple of years ago, where the union now compensates the clubs for taking the players. And as a result, they can build a team system, almost like an international club of these players coming through. And they have been very, very systematic about blooding those players, right? So that's France. Italy did the same. So we have had a guy who was my academy. He put the foundation together. It was called the foundation in the early days. And there was only like 6-7 players in the early days, 1 year, then the next year's 10, next year 12. Steve Aboud. And Stephen Aboud was an IRFU. He put the academy together. Mm-hmm. He was hired by Italy to do it for Italy about 10 years ago. He did it now in Canada as well, and he's back with Italy again. And he built that system of players coming through. And we're seeing the fruits of that now. So when we look at ourselves and go, we're not performing, it's not so much it's we're not performing. Everybody else is catching up. And I think that's a big, big thing. To your point about England and Borthwick. So we are where England and Borthwick were 2 years ago. Now, the big thing is we haven't...
By the way, Finn Russell penalty, 3-0 Scotland.
3-0 Scotland. So we're at that point. We haven't had a changing of the guard with the coach, but we have a changing of the guard with some senior players, which it has a dramatic effect on the team. Yeah. So losing those senior players who held that position for a very, very long time causes an instability, and that instability is sorting itself out. It will take time. Every team in every country goes through these troughs and peaks. Everyone. I remember New Zealand are going through it, you'd argue, at the moment. Mm. Now, they've managed to be still in the knockout stages of the World Cup because I truly believe they have somewhere deeper to lift, to reach into than we have had as a nation, where they have that legacy of being an all black to reach back on and go, we are not letting that happen. Ireland almost got there by you would say the knee of Jordy Barrett, I think it was. But that all that system change is why we are where we are. And we still have that academy of players coming through the system. It's just that we're at the trough coming through. And it could be a good thing for the first time, where actually come World Cup, we've blooded a few players and we're coming out of the blocks and people don't know what to expect. England have benefited that. And they benefited actually in the World Cup from that, where people didn't expect much from them and then they did really well.
What about then looking at next week in terms of who you'd like to see in the team? We spoke about Jack Crowley there, obviously, with Andy. Mm. But are there players now? Because you made six changes first, you think, okay, well, Italy is the down week, but it's not really that case anymore. So it feels like there's a lot of places up for grabs when we go to Twickenham now.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's probably after that loss in France, that's something he's probably trying to instill in this team, that, you know, it's not as guaranteed as it used to be. Certainly Izichukwu and Balakoon were rewarded, and Balakoon in particular, and form for Ulster. And what we think this team needs, it needs a bit of zip, it needs a bit of X factor. Tommy O'Brien was having an unbelievable season with Leinster, but when given his chance, he didn't do it in France, be it there's all other factors around that. So certainly I think he's shown that he can be quite cutthroat. But for me, John, I would imagine we'll see Byrne come back in. The line-out kind of shook a little bit at times when it mattered. They obviously had some big moments and good line-out throws, but it was generally, I think, you weren't as assured as you were with the line-out previous week. And I feel like Byrne would add, he's the line-out caller. They obviously changed it for this week, so I think he'll come back into that team. And it's a case of Joe McCarthy. I to be honest with you, I felt his ill discipline. I thought Andy was gonna, there was, because they spoke about discipline all week, and that penalty in particular that he gave away right in front of the post, that for me, that as a coach, that's your chance to say this is not on, you're on the bench or you're taking a week off, but he didn't do that. So Joe rewarded him this week. I thought he was quite good. So certainly I think that loose head position is up. Maybe give Milne a chance. Tom O'Toole came on. We know he's now, you know, he can do both, but he's now gone over to try and fill that loose head spot. So it's one of the first times going to Twickenham where you're really unsure of, other than from the game this week, 9 and 10 has to be Gibson, Park and Crowley. The two centres, the backline, I think, have done their job. But that pack, you just don't know what they're going to do or what way he's going to pick, other than, I'd say, Doris and Conan probably have nailed their spot. And Andy spoke about scrummaging-wise, do you bring Kelleher in? I mean, how long has it been since we've had a chat on all maybe six of the eight forwards on who's going to start in Twickenham? We'd normally know by now. So certainly it's exciting in a way that Izichukwu can come in, and the likes of Odogbo. I just want to mention that last scrum when they were under their posts, he had come on and he went in, set into that second row. It was perfect. It was smooth. You know, it was a chance for Italy to go after Ireland, and they were unbelievable in holding that, and Gibson Park got the ball out. So maybe sometimes you just need to get a big lump of a second row in there for scrummaging as well.
I was going to say, because you said about the scrum, what happened France versus today, we were destroyed today. I don't think we did as well as we thought we did in France. Remember, they put Olivon in second row. Olivon's he's a big guy, but he doesn't know how to push like a second row engine. He's a flanker who was playing in the second row. There's a very big difference. You know this from when you have a second row who knows how to push and who knows how to put that energy in. You may have seen it today with the Italy back row. The Italy back row were absolutely unbelievable in the scrum. Because what they do is, it's just a pressure game. They're putting pressure in through the props, through onto our front row. And that was a big difference against France. France didn't have that, where they usually have these big monster second rows, and they didn't have that. And that helped us look better than we thought we were against France.
WhatsApp's here. Awful display by Ireland against Italy today. It really is transition time, says a downbeat texter. And another one last, it was clear we were too high in the ruck. We weren't on it in the first half, second of the ruck, when you win or lose it this week. Still no improvement. Italy pushing Ireland off the ball, so Ireland can't defend ruck or attack at ruck. It must be 6 years since South Africa started jackling in modern rucking. There's a reason why they get more penalties in New Zealand, or Australia and Argentina combined. We need to change how Irish forwards are coached. Both first and second Italy scrum destroyed the Irish scrum.
Yeah, and just on that, a talking point on that as well, Aidan, that you were saying about the, you know, the second rows, the back rows and that. You're also looking at the first two scrums over in France, they were told to use the ball. If France were allowed, Ireland were told, and France were told to use it. If France were able to get that secondary shunt, then the referee allowed that, which Holly did at times today, which is fine. But it's all based on how referees do it and what they want. He just wanted that ball out. I think it had collapsed twice, and he also told Ireland to use it. So they might have gotten away with a couple of things that could have resulted in penalties, and it could have been a totally different chat around the scrum off the back of that.
Yeah, and the psychological.
Scotland try 8-0 against England. Hugh Jones. You got to count on Scotland always beat England when they're struggling.
This is though the percentage thing we were talking about. This is because they lost against Italy, and I do think England will grow back into that game. But back to that the downbeat texter. The point about the rooking etc. I don't know. I'm not involved in the system anymore here, but. One thing that you can see is clear in South Africa is that what the national team dictate gets trickled down. Mm. And then they're working on things that actually when somebody breaks through, they're not learning this new system for the first time. That system's been almost orchestrated from the top down. That has a dramatic effect when you have people coming through the system. It doesn't happen in places like France, by the way, because the clubs are so different and they're so competitive with each other. So we have a unique system in Ireland where that can happen, where if you're taught how to do certain skills in a certain way, that becomes a national way of doing it because the clubs are owned by the RFU.
Okay.
Yeah, and just on that as well, sorry
very
to
briefly,
cut in.
We got it nearly go quickly.
Oh yeah, just on that, I think as well, Aidan, that they are doing that and sometimes they're coaching the individuality out of some of the players. I know ruck-wise, and I'm down with Munster, and it's all the same policies and you're trying to build it up, and that's something they've implemented in the last few years. Okay. Sometimes you're caught in that.
Fiona Hayes, Aidan McCullough, thank you so much for coming in for the debrief on Ireland. Initially 20 points to 30 in Ireland win. It's Scotland 10, England 0. That Hugh Jones try converted. Thank you, folks. Enjoy your evening. Don't forget, Off the Ball back tomorrow, 1 to 7 here on News Talk. You got reports on the National Football League games between Donegal and Mayo and Roscommon and Armagh, and all the latest interviews from the World of Gaelic Games. Also, the reaction to the Ireland rugby camp to that game against Italy.
The Saturday panel on Off the Ball.
With Optimum Nutrition, the official performance nutrition partner of the IRFU.
This is News Talk.